Aloha, friends. It's Robert Stelic. Welcome to another episode of the Blue Planet Show, which is all about foiling. Today's video is basically a recap of the Voyager wet feet downwind race here on Oahu. It was probably the biggest foil race we've had here on Oahu anyways, maybe anywhere. I'm not sure, over 100 participants. So it's cool to see so many people entering. Stand-up paddle racing has been shrinking, but foiling is definitely growing fast. I'm talking with Brian Charcario and Derek Hamasaki, who finished first and second in this race in the wing foil division. And we got some really great footage from many different people filming along the way. So I really appreciate everyone submitting their footage, sending it to me so we could put together this video for you. We'd have the first part, which is a quicker recap of the race put together by Lucas, who also was flying the drone and so on. And then the second part, we go into a little bit more detail and showing a lot of footage of the race itself. Harold was in a dinghy following the whole race with his camera, so got some good footage from along the race. So I hope you enjoy it. Without further ado, here is the Voyager downwind race.
Hello friends, it's Robert with Blue Planet Surf, and I have Alex Aguero with me here, getting ready to get on the water for maybe the biggest downwind foil race ever. What do you think?
I don't know about that, but it's got quite a lot of participants. I heard there's 100 people competing today, so it's big.
Yeah, and it's all foiling, stand-up foiling, wing foiling, and then also some guys are doing prone foiling from Cromwell's to the finish, which is by suicide.
Yeah. What are you using today?
I think I'm going to use a 6.5 and a 600 foil. What are you using?
Yeah, like all the
chains. A 6-meter wing and a 96-meter board. Good floaty board.
There you go. So that was a big combo.
Yeah, and then the wind, it's windy today, so that kind of is good for a bit heavier guys.
Hopefully I don't get lit up too
sometimes
much.
Sometimes really light guys like Derek are really good in light wind, but then,
just
kinda
like,
I don't know, Derek, what, you say something too.
What are you talking
about? So talk about your equipment. What you got?
Oh, I got a same like Alex, 600 front wing, hand wing is 6-meter, and a 10-inch tail. Trying to go as fast as these two guys. They should have a category of their own.
Oh, yeah, listen to you.
It's called Oil Company Owners, so yeah. We'll add that next time. Oh, so, yeah.
So, all right, so we'll see you on the water, and then hope you enjoy the race.
Yeah.
Okay, so I got Derek Hamasaki and Brian Ticario here with me, and we're gonna do a little voiceover of this race. So thanks for joining me, guys.
Yeah, no problem. Awesome, thanks for having us.
Yeah, so we're gonna talk a little bit about the race, do a little race recap, talk about who was in the race, the equipment, strategy, technique, conditions, training, the upcoming races in July, and then also how stand-up foiling compares with the wing foiling. And the first part of the video is a shorter recap of the race with some cool drone footage from several sources. So we got Lucas filming at the beginning, there's some water shots from Derek and also Jeff Chang. And then Harold is the guy in that dinghy who filmed the whole race with his cell phone. So we got some cool footage of the whole race. And in the second part of the video, we're gonna show a little bit more detail and go into like more detailed stuff about racing and winging and stand-up foiling and all that. I tried to get Kane DeWild on to join us too, but I didn't hear back from him, unfortunately. So I'm trying to get this video up by tomorrow, Saturday, a week later after the race. Pretty exciting. So maybe you guys talk a little bit about the start.
Go ahead, Derek.
Okay, the start was pretty organized. People was spread apart. Wingers were drifting further upwind. We could fly upwind and then just sit with the sub guys going down. So we all just hung out. They gave us a 1 minute prior to, they said we're ready to go, and then everybody sitting down on their boards or crouching down on the boards. And once they said go, it was on. The wind was cranking out there. It was nice and there was a steady flow. I know a lot of people said they had a hard time getting up in the beginning because the bumps was outrageous, which is good.
Yeah. How was your start, Brian?
Yeah, it was good. It was hectic. A lot of people around. A lot of people. You got your wingers starting. Some are going right, some are going left. And then you have the sub-foilers pretty much starting straight down swell. So if you weren't on the end and you were in the middle of the pack, there was a lot of traffic. So getting up fast was critical.
Yeah. You definitely want to get up quick and get going in front of everybody. That way you don't have to dodge everyone. And then also whatever boats or safety vessels was out there, the skis or whatever, sometimes you got to go shoot air things and you cannot push it. You want to just get through and whatnot. But it was real get up and try to stay in front.
Yeah, I thought one thing about the start that worked well compared to last year that at the Blue Water race, it was really spread out, the start line, right? This time they had like a couple jet skis going back and forth, so they made a line like where nobody could get way ahead of everyone else. So that, and plus everyone had to sit on their boards at the start. So I thought the start, it was a pretty fair start for everyone. Like you said, you did have to make sure you don't have someone right in your way as you're trying to take off. Otherwise you're like, especially cause the stand-up foilers were going straight downwind and we have to go a little bit at an angle to the wind, right?
Yeah. I think next time, like when sitting at the dinner table, you go with somebody that's getting up on one right reach and you get the other person sitting up on the opposite reach. You don't want to be going crossing, right?
Yeah. True. So this is Kane the Wild. Harold followed Kane pretty much the whole race with his dinghy. So we got a lot of footage of Kane. And then I think this is you, Derek. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you and I is crossing back and forth in between.
Yeah. And then this was getting close to the finish line. And as you can see, there was like a buoy on the outside of the waves. But then there was the surf was pretty big and you couldn't really see where the finish was. Yeah. And there was like, I came in first. I had no idea. I just didn't know the area very well, but you can see here is that channel. And I ended up too far upwind, coming in too far upwind of the channel. And then you also came up in too far upwind, yeah, Derek?
Yeah, I hooked around the buoy, but I came in because I saw you, so I pulled back upwind and I came into the finish line. But unfortunately, when we were in the channel, there was no buoys. Oh, crap. and then all of a sudden, there's reef.
Both of us didn't see the finish line and went too far upwind. And then Brian.
Yeah.
What happened when you came in? You saw us too, or what happened?
No, I thought you guys finished already. I came in before I hit that red buoy. I fell because I was too busy looking at where the channel was, because you couldn't see anything. I was just focusing on where's the channel, looking right, and I wound up breaching, falling. It's on the video too. And then I'm scrambling to get back up and made the right, and I shot straight for the white condos. And then at the top of the swell, I saw Jeff on the inside on the ski. And I just tried to shoot for the ski when I could see it. And I barely snuck in on the town side of the channel. I wound up going right at the pilings, dry reef area, and saw that last second, hooked right and snuck in there. But it was definitely it was tough to spot that channel.
Yeah. Congrats on that. So Brian won the race and then Derek came in second.
Yeah, right on.
I guess so, Derek, you were able to turn around and go back out and back in again, or like how did you end up finishing?
Yeah. Yeah. So initially when I first came in, I saw you and I was like, okay, right on Robert first. And then I'll just come in behind because I didn't see any of the suppers too. So I was like, oh, okay, awesome. But when I was coming in, there was set waves. So in front of me was all white water. I couldn't see the reef, nothing at all. And then behind me, the wave was overhead. So I just had to hold onto my wing and just hope for the best.
Yeah, you're just focusing on making it, right?
Yeah. I didn't want to fall and get cleaned out by the white water behind me. So just went in. And then once we went in and realized, okay, this is the wrong spot, went to turn, hit the reef and went down. I'm like, oh, crap. And then while I was in the water trying to get up, I looked over towards the west and I noticed the ski and the other buoys and go, oh crap, too early. Okay, so there's enough wind coming in that area for the foil that I was on and my weight, get back on foil, come up and fly around. And then when I was coming around, I saw Brian's wing that was inside. So I was like, oh, okay, that's it. So came in, like just skirted the reef on that channel and then just came around and then passed the buoy and then and it did that.
Cool. All right, so here we have the start again. So we're doing a little bit extended version of the race again here. And then Harold's following Kane to Wild, and you can see he got a really good start, like pretty much on second bump that went under him, he was able to take off. And then he just took off at high speed. He has a Lyft 900 foil, I think. So pretty small foil for stand-up foiling. And he was flying. He was making really good time. It's actually, I was amazed how fast he was going, because I thought I was going pretty fast with the Mike's Lab 540, which is a pretty fast foil, and the wing, and the wind was pretty strong, but he was right there. He was like, we were just head to head for quite a while. And then actually the only other person I saw around me was Derek, and you were more on the inside, right?
Yes.
You took more of an inside line, right?
Yes.
But let's talk a little bit about the difference between wing foiling and stand-up downwind foiling. So I guess one of the things is definitely that you can tell is that you can see I'm like zigzagging a little bit back and forth. And then the more I turn downwind, the less wind I have in the wing. And Kane is just going straight downwind in a straight line, almost like doing some turns and stuff. But I guess that's one of the things that we can probably go faster, but it's harder for us to go straight downwind, right?
Yeah, we cover more distance, but yeah, they can just go, we go faster and more distance, but they can just go straighter line.
Yeah, I think if it was windier and we can actually go straight downwind, that's another story, but it's got to blow real hard for that with a big wing. But yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is also that once you're going straight downwind, then no matter how windy it is, it usually like you end up going faster than the wind a lot. If you're on a bump going straight downwind, basically the wind is almost, there's just no wind in your sail. So no matter how big your wing is, it's going to be in the way. Actually, and the bigger the wing is, the more drag it has too. Yeah, that one training run, I tried using an 8-meter wing, and it did have more power, so I could go a little bit steeper angle downwind. But then once you're going faster than the wind, then it's such a big wing, and it's in the way more. It's harder to jive and handle in the air. So in this race, I was using a 6-meter. Which that's the size you were using too, Derek, right? How was how was 6 meters for you?
So it was perfect. I was able to use it as almost an umbrella holding downwind and use it as straight. They didn't really need to go left and right. Could just hold it up and down like the center strut. Just straight up and down, and I just had to make sure I wasn't going through a trough or not in anybody's way. But yeah, it was pretty good. Really good.
What about you, Brian? What was your strategy for trying to go fast?
I tried to go farther outside, hoping the wind was a little better out there. It was still good everywhere, but yeah, I tried to go left a little more and just try to go get as far outside without going too crazy. And then just whatever bumps I ride, continue left and just keep trying to go left. So when it's time to go downwind, it's a little easier for me. But yeah, I was looking for you guys outside, thinking your way outside, and I wasn't seeing you. Then I finally looked on the inside, and I was like, oh, there's Derek and Rob. But
yeah, did you feel like it seemed to me like in the middle of the race, like closer, as we were getting closer to Diamond, it seemed like it was like flattened out a little bit. Yeah, it would. The bumps were really nice in the beginning.
Yeah,
and then there was kind of a middle part that was not as good.
Yeah, I felt I had to pump the wing a lot just to keep the same speed as I had in the beginning between pumping the foil and pumping the wing. Yeah, there was definitely a little bit of a lighter in the middle.
Yeah, I think the groundswell was
Let me talk about this real quick. I'm sorry, Kane.
Oh, yeah.
Kane, this is where Kane fell in. I didn't see it happening, but he said he thought he hit a fish maybe underwater, like his foil just stopped. So he went over the handlebars, and then his board is like super narrow on the bottom. It is pretty much just a rounded off bottom with a very small flat area, and then this was all, and then it was Derek.
So I was like, oh, come on, Kane, go.
So the board is so tippy and narrow, and then this was the area where that was a little bit flatter, not as the bumps were a little bit, and the wind was lighter. So it was actually, he said it was pretty hard for him to get going again, and he actually like pulled himself off the board here trying to get on one. But so it's actually pretty impressive that even though he fell in, he was still able to win the race. And then that was also because you can see here that several guys passed him. And then, mm-hmm. but then he was still able to pull
catch him at the end, yeah,
and just get him in the end. And so, you can tell how big of a difference it makes if you just fall in or anything, get delayed for a little bit, can't get up on foot right away. Because right. everyone's so close together, moving so fast that, yeah, just a small break, and everyone else is like now way ahead of him. Like, you can see our wings are like kind of way in the distance.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what about your, Derek, what was your strategy? I noticed you went a little bit more on the inside, right?
Never really had a strategy. Just was follow you. That's pretty much how I was doing. So, but the one thing I learned is when I was coming by Diamond Head, I fell three times I fell.
Cool.
And one thing I learned was don't use polarized glasses out there because it gives you a false sense of depth perception.
Oh,
I could see through the wave, and a few times I went left to go over that swell and to the next one, and my rail just caught into the wave, and I was like, "What the heck?" Fell, get back up, going again, and then as soon as I fell twice, I took off my put my glasses on top of my hat, and then I was like, "Okay, now I can see the true height, the depth of the wave." And then I was good. And then the last time I fell was inside on a shallow reef, and then had to fly again. But yeah, just follow the line. Sometimes it's hard. I know even when we was doing regular stand-up races, when you're in the front, it's hard because you don't have anything really pushing you. But sometimes when you're behind somebody, you can just trail them and find that good stuff. But I did learn not to follow Rob to the ending because he usually don't have his glasses, and he goes like wrong turn or whatever. Then you follow him and you're like, oh man, what's going on?
Yeah. When I'm driving, I'm wearing glasses because my vision is not the best. So yeah, don't follow me at the finish, especially if I have no one else to follow. So yeah,
but that was good. It was a strategy. I just went on the inside, the fastest line. And then even when it got lighter on the inside, when I seen people was breaking away, I was able to just hold my wing straight up and down and just pump it that way. And then just try to get going. So instead of switching hands, how like you would go heel side, toe side, whatever, I would just stay heel side and just raise the wing straight up and down with the leading edge up, pointed up to the sky, and hold it that way, and then go angle it left a little bit if I wanted to, or right, and then that way I don't waste time switching hands and stuff like that.
Okay. Yeah. So basically you always keep your hands in the same position. You just, even if you turn out a little bit, turn in.
Majority of the time, yeah. Yes.
That's a good strategy, basically. And then the more you can go straight towards the finish, the better.
Yeah. Brian and Robert, were you guys using your extra leash or the long leash to catch more wind? Deal like a kite-ish reach?
No, I wasn't. Just because I've fallen a couple times when I let the front handle go and use the leash. It works fantastic, but I have to pay too much attention to the wing when a gust comes, and then less attention to the swell and the waves, and then I wind up crashing or something. I have less control of the wing with it. In the bigger downwinder days, but like surfing, absolutely. Like surf when we go out in the white plains, whatever, absolutely. But not this situation, though.
No. Yeah, okay. Same here. I've tried that in the past where I just let the wing fly a little bit higher because you can. It seems like you can catch a little bit more wind up higher.
Yes. But
yeah, like Brian said, you just don't have as much control of the wing, especially like I find myself going faster than the wind a lot of times. Like I said, when I turn straight downwind and I'm going on a fast bump, I'm actually holding the wing up on top of my head flat in the air, and sometimes with the leading edge pointing forward because that's where the apparent wind is coming from. And then as I slow down, then I turn back in, then I turn it back into the wind. So doing a little bit of a dance with the wing, and you need to have really good control of the wing to do that, obviously. Yeah. So you got to hold on to it real tight.
Yeah, using those strut handles, right? Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And what about the foils? Let's talk a little bit about the foil wings you guys were using. You were both on the same go foils?
No, I think Derek had the 600. I had the 650. I had the 650 with the 12 long tail. Derek, what did you have?
I had the RSX 600 front wing and a 10-inch long tail. Yeah. So a little bit faster, but more stability than the shorter ones, the shorter fuselages, especially since we wanted to just overtake bumps and stuff like that. Yeah, we wasn't really surfing that one bump or going right and left. I found it more just going over and keep it like leapfrogging kind of stuff, especially mm-hmm. if the wind allows you in your wing to catch bumps versus riding swells.
Yeah. And then here along Diamond Head, the bumps got really nice again. Yeah, there were some good fast moving yes. bumps right here. Yeah.
Great conditions when we hit Diamond Head.
Yeah.
So I noticed, Rob, you were on the outside-ish and then you shot it, slingshot in, right?
Yeah, I kept looking for, trying to look for where the wind was. And it mm-hmm. seemed like the wind line was, to me, it looked like it was windier further out. So I tried to stay further out. And then yeah. at the end, I figured it's probably better to stay a little bit further out until I get closer and then come in to avoid any like light wind areas close to Diamond Head after Diamond Head Lighthouse.
Yeah, because we did the days before, we did a couple of trial runs and into the original. So on the race day, they changed the channel to a further one, further west, which is more towards Waikiki, which is more wind shadowed. So we practiced at one, came out the second day when we came to practice, and Jeff said, no, that's not it. It's the next one over. So we went to the next one over, and we went in and out a few times, and we're like, okay, this is going to be a breeze. We got it. Okay, we lined up the park and all that. And then the race stayed and said, no, not those ones, the next one. So
yeah. And by the way, there's huge surf and you can't really see where you're going. So
yeah, but it was a good
But they
call
did
for,
tell us actually
it.
They did yeah. tell us aim for that first building, like Brian was saying, he aimed at the condo building, yes. which was smart. And then mm-hmm. I remember also Todd Bradley's telling us before the race to make sure you don't go in too early because then you get stuck by the reef at Suicides. And sure enough, right. that's where we ended up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Todd saying, do not cut the corner. Okay, don't cut the corner. Yeah. When you get your shot, go.
Yeah, yeah, excellent.
Right. So, no, yeah. but that was a good call because the waves were large. There were surfers in the water. The wind around the corner was like it did a little funkiness. So it was a good call for them to move everything a little bit further down the coast. But it still was black, pretty black diamond-ish that day of the race.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So the finish, like coming in through the surf, yeah, that was also a little bit scary, right? You don't want to end up in the wrong place coming in through big surf. But here you can see everybody yeah. lined up in front of him. So there's, what are their names? I think one of them is Nick. And Nick, when he got in the surf, I think he fell and broke his paddle.
Oh, I just read that.
And then that's how Kane was able to pass him and win the race. But you can see, I think, Derek and me in the front there.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that it just like the just because you're leading the race doesn't mean you're going to win it. So it's making it to the finish right. line is important, not just in racing, but in life as well. So make it to
logistics.
The right goal, not just get ahead. So anyway, and then, but it's kind of cool, Brian, for you to win this race because you're in the Coast Guard, right? And you're getting moved soon, right?
Yeah, I'm moving in 1 week to Sitka, Alaska.
Yeah.
Sunny, tropical, warm Sitka, Alaska.
Yeah, he's taking his trophy with him. Bragging rights, everything is awesome.
Awesome, man. So, yeah, it's awesome that you were able to win this race. And it's cool, too, because we've been winging, practicing together. We did a bunch of long runs together.
Yeah.
And so it's cool that all of us did well. And then Eli as well. Eli was always coming with us too. And to have all of us in the front was pretty cool.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely. Fun times.
Yeah.
It is the end. It was definitely a hectic end.
Yeah.
Yeah, the ending. So some parts of the ending that I see and then what I noticed was there would probably be, and this was the first one, so, you know, like we can only improve from here, is just tell the guys, and I see it in the sub world, the OC1 canoes, as soon as you pass, just keep going. Like what happened a bunch of times, and I know some of the wingers were saying that, the guys would pump to the end, and as soon as they cross the buoy, they'll stop and sit down and be right in the way. And we're coming in, and we're like, oh, shucks, you got to move. And then not a clear path to come in, because that channel was fairly small, yeah. The width of it wasn't too wide.
So when you sit down right at the finish line, you're blocking the entrance of the channel, basically. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. And if especially if you had a wing or something. Oh, man.
Yeah. No, you're right. And then so Harold was obviously didn't want to go inside the surf with his dinghy, but he stayed outside by that orange buoy and kept filming until his phone died. Good fun footage of everyone going in there.
Coming through.
Yeah, it was definitely pretty hectic. And like you can see that it's hard to see where the finish line is. You can see that orange buoy, which it's good that they put that out. But
that's me falling right there.
Oh, that was you?
That's me. Oh, yeah. Flipping the wing back over and getting back up right there.
Okay.
So I fell right before the buoy, and I thought that was it, but I managed to get back up fairly quick.
Yeah. And I think there was three stand-up foilers that came in front ahead of you, right?
Yeah, there was a couple sitting in the finish line channel, and yeah, it was definitely tight.
Yeah,
and it was hard. There was no good escape either. You went in, and you had to, if you wanted to go back out, you had to go back out the same small way you went in. And it was hard because everyone else is coming in. So you just had to. Eddie passed me once we were in. He passed me and went right to the beach on foil, went over the shallow reef. I was like, oh, that's a great idea. So I just followed Eddie once I got back up on foil, to the beach.
Okay. I ended up just going back out and heading up to Diamond Head because that's where we parked our cars.
Yeah.
You know, here's Eli coming in. And I think, so I guess, Derek, I'm still on the inside. I was getting worked by the waves. I couldn't really get up back up on foil because the waves kept pushing me in and the reef was shallow. So I had to go out drifting around the reef. And then it took me probably 5 minutes to get to the finish line, which I was so bummed out.
Yeah, that was super unfortunate. Yeah, because the whole way he was up there and then you went in.
Yeah, and then I guess you came in. You can't see Derek, but you came in. You went back out and then came in and finished second, right, Derek?
Yes.
And then you could just, Josh was just on that turquoise wing and I was just drifting in and he came in before I did. And then I came in and then next was Nani.
I think this is Nani, yeah.
Nani was the first female finisher. So she also won the blue water race last year. She's really fast. Right. So I wouldn't be surprised if she's one of the top contenders for the races, Maui to Molokai and Molokai to Oahu, I think, for the females.
Yeah.
And then I'm not sure who this one, do you know?
Set maybe.
Anyway, go on. But yeah, so this finish was definitely a little bit challenging for me, especially. I think is this Eddie with the PPC wing?
Yeah, he's got a PPC.
Might have been, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I know the couple of days that we went prior to, it was like you coming in and it was pretty much flat, no waves at all. And we would be flying in and going, okay, there's a reef. Okay, I can come in here. Okay, I can get as close as I can and cut this corner here and whatnot. The day of the race, as you can see with all that white water there, there's no, even if you was to cut it or go wide or whatever, you couldn't see the reef. Before days before, you look at the white water and you go, okay, I know reef is there. Saturday, man, there was white water everywhere. It was pretty much had closeout sets from Diamond Head all the way to, what is that, Suicide or Kaimana Beach or something.
Yeah, and there's like breaking white water right behind you. So you're like, oh, don't, yeah. I don't want to fall. Don't breach, yeah. don't breach. Yeah. And it's like the last thing you're looking for is where's the finish line? It's just make it in through the surf, right?
Yeah. Once you made that turn, you were committed. And a lot of people missed the channel. You passed it on the town side and you couldn't turn around. That was it. Like I don't think anyone tried to really turn around because they couldn't.
Yeah.
By the time they were
ready,
I tried.
Yeah, I think on the list, if you look at the official listing, there's a lot of people that had DNS, did not, I don't know what it was, start or finish, but Jeff didn't clock anybody that didn't come in front of the buoy and in front of the jet ski. So all the guys who passed him and went over the reef and had to walk on the sand and whatnot, he just didn't have time to look around and clock them. So pretty much everybody finished, like they did the whole course, they came in, nobody had to be rescued. If you didn't go in front of the jet ski, the official one, then you did not get a official, okay, you finished the race.
Yeah, I noticed that too. Only about half of the participants had a time next to their name, right? Like on both this wing foiling and the stand-up foiling. But in terms of total racers, I think this might be a record, a number of racers here at the Voyager Wet Feet race. They had over 100 people signed up for the race.
Nice.
Pretty impressive how many people were at the starting line now.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yes, yeah.
It was cool seeing everybody out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did notice, I don't know if you guys knew other people, but I did notice people from Maui, Kauai, Oahu, and I did hear somebody came from the mainland that was just in town, and they're like, yeah, I'll participate, but I'm not sure if any international travelers were here.
Yeah,
you guys
not sure. I wouldn't be surprised if people come to this race in the future, because it was definitely a cool event for sure.
Yeah, good and conditions, good hectic beginning, hectic end, but great downwind conditions.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you think that there could be a different format or scenario for the finish or just overall champion? Or would it be just fine that one and done kind of deal?
I don't know. What do you think? I guess the finish was part of the challenge of this race, I would say.
Yeah, so. Yeah. No, I just was thinking out of the box, if they do it again,
like different classes,
everybody go. Yeah, definitely different classes, because you want to include everyone. You don't want the guys to pay their entry fee and then they come in 10th, but that's their personal goal and they get it. And you just want to you did great or whatever. But I was thinking the first crew go, the first everybody go one time. And then from there, the top 10 people that cross, you take them up and say, okay, now we're going to do another run. And then you eliminate that. Then this way, you know what wing works for you. You know where the finish line is. You know where this is. So you can do the elimination thing. And even if you wanted to, you could go from the top 10 people, take, okay, the last run, which is going to be the finals, will be the top 5 or 4 or 3. And then from there, you're like, okay, whoever win this, come in. And then by that time, if everybody's still interested, they're going to be on a beach with cameras and watching, and they're going to fully focus on this last crew of 5 people coming in, which could be really interesting.
Yeah, if you get dedicated shuttle drivers, it could all happen pretty quick, I think, too. That's a great idea. Just it's a 25-minute run, so.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Because how long took for us to get our gear together, pump up, screw everything, do this? Drive up, drive back, and then we was on the water shock so quick.
Yeah.
But yeah, that would be.
Yeah, that's an interesting concept for sure.
Yeah. Because this one, if we known, it might have been a different result. And then we could also choose, okay, we can change the different foil, we can get a bigger hand wing, follow this guy, go to way outside, go way inside. You could have varies, but you could also just have that little elimination kind of deal, yeah? I know right now we're just in the infant stages of it. This is the way that you would show great competition kind of deal, yeah?
It's almost like the prone. The prones, I think, just kept doing runs, and they could have changed gear and did whatever they wanted between runs. and something like that, but a little bit of an elimination too.
Yeah, because that's just the prones were on, right? Like you said, they could just go from 12:30 to 4 and doing as fast as they can. The wind, if the wind changed, the swell changed or whatever, and it's your fastest time, that's it. Now you're the champ, but
yeah, you can do multiple runs and do whatever, whatever it takes. Yeah, I think that's a cool idea. So this was after the race. You guys went to go ride some waves, huh?
Oh yes, for sure. Yeah, definitely. It was like after the race, we're going, okay, what now? There's waves. There's wind. We gotta go. So we packed up a few people. We just went down to by the airport and we just rode some waves.
Yeah. I was too beat. I like when I came in at Diamond, I also hit the reef with my new foil and I was like so bummed out about the finish and then banging my foil. I was like, okay, I'm gonna go home.
Yeah, we saw that. We inspected your foil that was up there. Oh man.
Yeah, that's a rough one.
Yeah. But then I came out with you guys the next day and surfed the spot and that was super fun.
Yeah,
big waves, clean waves and strong wind. Yeah, it was a nice combination right there.
Yes, yeah. And it was stress-free. No, got it. We can just take your time coming out, let the wave come to you, surf it. It was a blast. And Alex from Maui was in town too. He came for the race, so he was able to surf some of our South Shore spots.
Your sponsor, foil sponsor, right?
Yeah, and he was pretty stoked that the team, like he was stoked on the camaraderie of all the different foilers and everybody else, but also how well the team did. So that was good to show.
Sure, because I think the GoFoil team got like it was Brian, Derek, and then Eli. Oh, top three spots you got, right? All on GoFoils.
Yes.
Yeah, congrats.
Brian carried the team for us.
Brian got lucky.
Yeah. Lucky. Brian got very lucky. No, you got it.
Yeah.
But that was awesome.
Not just luck.
Yeah. So just follow the right path. Yeah. Yeah.
So
this spot right now.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the races coming up. So I'm super excited about Maui in a couple of weeks. Derek, you want to talk a little bit about what we're planning to do?
Yeah, so they got the Molokai Holokai coming up, which is a race from Maui Flemings Beach to Kaunakakai, Molokai. And that's another channel crossing between the islands. I believe it's 27 miles. So there's a bunch of people that's going to do that race on wings, on stand-up boards, race boards, canoes, and whatnot. But our plan is to go up on Thursday, do a couple Maliku runs. On Friday, do the race crossover, hang out on Molokai on Friday. And then Saturday, there's another Kamalo run, which is a 10-mile run. And we're going to participate in that too as well. Blowing my hand all
over the creation. Yeah, and then on the day after that race, we were planning to just wing back from Molokai back to Oahu, and we got like an escort boat to go with us as well with our group.
Maybe Sunday,
maybe two, depending on two escort boats on that Sunday. So I'm super excited about that. Basically, we're just gonna fly to Maui and then wing back from Maui to Molokai to Oahu. Pretty excited. Maybe we can meet up with some of the Maui crew on that Thursday before the race and just do some winging or foiling.
Right, yeah. So we got, 27 miles in the length of Molokai and then another 32 miles to Oahu. So it's going to be a pretty long trip, but the good part, there's Harold. That's Harold right there.
Harold's the guy in the dinghy.
Yeah, he's on the dinghy, yeah. But the good part is the last stretch, which is the longest, we're going to just be cruising to get back home. We won't be like pushing the limits. We're just going to go as fast as the slowest person. We can relax.
Yeah. And that was really fun too when we did that White Plains run that we also made a video about. That it was cool to be able to just take our time, and but also, and it's not that you can't go fast, It's just that you can still go fast. You just turn around. And then if you're ahead of people, you just wait. And yes. If you get way behind, then you try to go a little bit faster, right? Just
catch up.
Yeah. So catch up or slow down, go upwind a little bit, whatever. So
circle around. Yeah.
Not that hard to stick together as a group.
No, with the wings for sure. Yeah, definitely. We can all share. If we had a sub board, then it would be, unless you're one of the wonder ones that can pump upwind, then yeah, it'll be hard to stay together, but it'll be good too. Cause after Sunday, once we get back, we'll wash the boat and whatnot, then we can probably take a few days off. I don't know about you, Rob, but because we have the next crossing, the Molokai to Oahu, coming up right after, in 2 weeks. After.
2 weeks after that, yeah. So then that's really the biggest race of the year, probably for foiling. The Molokai race is the big one, yeah. So yeah, I definitely want to be ready for that.
Yeah, rest up for that. And then hopefully next year we'll have a race in Alaska that we can do. Yeah. And Brian will coordinate that, right?
Yeah. Maybe. Sitka Foil Group, one guy.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. I'll hopefully get back here for that next
year. Come for a visit, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. We can do a team stuff too if God will just try to save up on the cost of the boat and whatnot. But can definitely do teams or however we will make it work.
Maybe you can do a crossing from Hawaii to Alaska or the other way around, Alaska to Hawaii.
Yeah, straight down, right? Oh, man. Definitely. At least we know some Coast Guard guys if we have to.
We'd have an escort. All right. Any last words? Actually, do you want to mention anything about safety being with the Coast Guard, Brian?
Oh, nothing that's not already been mentioned already by you and Derek before the White Plains run. You covered everything on the beach before the White Plains run. Between just always have the biggest things, just have a way to signal people. Carry a radio, a phone, something. So when everything goes wrong, you can get in touch with somebody for multiple reasons. But yeah, phones are huge. Just get a waterproof bag. We always all carry phones at our however end. Carry a phone. 911 works fantastic.
Yeah.
A good backup would be VHF. But at least for this area, everything's within a couple miles of the beach. Phones pretty much always have reception here.
Yeah, for the channel races, it's probably better to rely on a VHF radio or EPIRB or something like that.
EPIRB, VHF. Like when I go to Alaska, the Garmin's got the satellite texting device. I forgot what it's called, but that's what's going to be in my pocket because there's no cell service up there. And I forgot what it's called, but they work fantastic.
I know which one you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a small handheld GPS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, holy smokes. That's a lot of change coming from here, huh?
Oh, who, me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be interesting. I don't know what's going to go in like my pack, but it's going to be a lot more.
Be wearing a thick wetsuit and booties and gloves. Yeah. And a hood.
5mm boots. Not going to be able to feel the board because of the 7mm of rubber between my heel and the board and fitting my hand in the wing loop. It's going to be another.
Yeah,
so we'll see how that works. Then, I think just this, like the mitigating the safety risk.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's very little rescue assets out there. Like there's tons here. And you have exposure problems out there. You don't have that.
Yeah, you don't last that long if something goes wrong. Yeah.
Yeah, no, here you can last a long time out there and just put it in first gear and paddle, but you can't really do that out there. Come up and see what we got and come up with a plan and try and maybe convince people to foil out there.
Who wants to go foiling?
Yeah, so if anyone's watching here on YouTube from Alaska that is anywhere close to Brian, maybe reach out.
Brian, what is your Instagram?
Brian Trick, I think. Brian, TRIC.
Like an underscore in between or something, or just Brian, TRIC?
1 minute.
Yeah, you gotta look at yourself.
And what about you, Derek? How can people find you online?
Oh, just on Instagram at Derek Hama, no spaces. D-E-R-E-K-H-A-M-A.
Okay. I just wanted to say, too, Derek recently won the SUP Surfing U.S. Championships, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And you don't stand a paddle anymore, so that's pretty impressive that you still got it.
Yeah. Just got to go. You just got two moves, and I can just go. Keep to the two moves. Don't get fancy, and then the rest will just take care of itself.
Yeah. I guess your cutbacks you still do on a foil, too, right? It's the same move almost.
Oh, yeah, similar. Yeah. I'll apply the same surfing. That's what I've been trying to do in the waves is try to apply the same surfing maneuvers, bottom turn, top turns, hit the white water, full on roundhouse, and with the wings and foils, which I know it's doable. It's just so tricky because you get the chance of cavitation or just breaching and whatnot. But yeah, I think if you just trust yourself and push the foil, you should be able to make those kind of maneuvers.
I've seen you do it, so I know you can.
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
All right.
What is Brian, what is yours? Quick one. What was your Instagram, Brian? So that they can hit you up.
It's Brian Trick with an underscore after the C, the last letter.
Okay.
That's it.
Perfect.
Brian Trick underscore.
Pick you up. Do you know if there's any community, foiling community, or any kind of gear for sale up in Sitka so right now?
I saw one foil for sale on Facebook a couple months ago. I haven't seen it lately, so that might be it. Foiling community might, the one foiling community might be gone. But there was a Jack has a friend who left Sitka who did wing foil when he was up there. So I got to get in contact with him just to get some info about the area so I don't start from scratch with conditions and everything and just conditions and zones and safety and see, just pick his brain. But he said he was the only one there doing it. So, yeah.
Oh, nice.
It'll be fun.
Nice. And you have some gear too. Like if somebody does want to join you, you'd be able to bring them along at least.
I have plenty of extra stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Hit him up. Hit Brian up.
Probably sell some of your stuff.
Yeah, plenty of extra gear.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. Awesome.
All right, guys. Any last words?
No. Just get out there. Get on the water. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. I'm going to wrap this up and put it on YouTube so people can watch it tomorrow.
Awesome. But,
yeah. Sweet. Thanks for joining me.
All right. Congratulations, Brian, once again, for your win. And keep in touch, man. We'll get out there and try to get stationed back to Hawaii so we can. There you go.
Absolutely.
All right. Take care, guys. Thanks for joining me. Have a good night. Aloha.
All right.
Thank you. Aloha.